You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening, coming back. If it's your first time, welcome. This week, episode 33 for February 13th, 2019. My pal Patrick is back, and we look at a little cult classic, one of the funniest video games of the 16-bit era, the original Earthworm Jim on the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis. It actually released first on the Sega, then came to Super Nintendo shortly after. But you guys know I'm a Nintendo homer, so I'm going to give Super Nintendo their props first. Earthworm Jim, I'm excited about this one, man. This is just one of those weird games. You know, I don't know how many people listening to this have played Earthworm, but I think everyone knows Earthworm from back in the day. I mean, the games are hilarious. The dude spawned a cartoon, comic books, action figures. Earthworm Jim was a big franchise for a little while, and then just kind of disappeared, and I wish it would come back, because, I mean, in a world where we're getting so many indie games and 2D, like, platformers and stuff like that, like, someone can't make Earthworm Jim. I know, like, there's rumors there's new ones coming and stuff, but, like, I just want another 2D. Give us, like, Earthworm Jim 3, just, like, a 2D Earthworm, you know, anyway. So that's what we're talking about this week. Before that, you guys know I have to ramble for a few minutes. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Member the Game, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Member the Game. Please throw us a follow and a like or whatever. We follow back wherever we can. I love talking to you guys on there, so please do. We'd really, really appreciate it. Also, we have a website, rememberthegamepodcast.com, where you'll find links to most of the major services our podcast is on, and blogs. I finally got around to posting the first blog there. I will continue to do so, so feel free to check that out. You can sign up for the emailing list to find out whenever something new happens. I'm pretty sure that's the only time they'll email you. If any of you have signed up for that list and gotten another email outside of that, raise hell and let me know, and I will also raise hell, and I'll delete that off the website, because that's not what I'm all about. Last week I had two episodes. First time I did on the Wednesday, I dropped the Roller Coaster Tycoon episode with Mark, episode 31. And then on Friday, I hit you guys with a bonus episode starring my nephew Ben, where we talked about Fortnite and Smash Bros. Ultimate and some current games. I know this is predominantly a retro gaming podcast, but I love talking games with Ben, and he's only 12. He just didn't play the retro games. These are going to be his retro games someday. And I got some good feedback on that one, so thanks for listening to that if you guys liked it. That was really cool. I don't know how often we'll be doing that, but once in a while, those are going to pop up, which has been, you know, it was fun, and it was a good time to talk with Ben. Sorry, now I'm rambling, because this is what happens when I try to read my computer while I talk. Just close my computer. I have a few episodes coming up, too, that are more editorial. Like, remember we did the one about Sega versus Nintendo, and we did one about do we want a Nintendo 64 Classic, and they got quite a few downloads, so I have a couple more ideas for just some looking at video games as a whole, as opposed to focusing on a specific retro game. And I have a few of those recorded and coming down the pipe. So if you're interested in those, there's more coming. And if you're not, sorry, I guess you'll have to find something else to do with 45 minutes of your week on those weeks anyway. I have a bunch of episodes coming down. I've been recording a bunch. And you know what I'll tell you guys? And I've posted about a little bit on our Instagram account, but one of my favorite things about doing the podcast is the excuse I get to go back and play old games. I chalk it up to doing research, you know, and I'll fire up my NES Classic, you know, or my or whatever have you. I won't lie to you, like, I stopped collecting years ago and I sold off most of my collection, and I don't have a bunch of the hard carts, like cartridges, here to play anymore. But there's lots of ways to get your hands on the old games. And man, it has just been so fun. Like, I mean, it's fun enough to come on here and talk about the old games, but to just sit down at night, you know, after my girlfriend goes to bed, I have a couple hours to myself. That's usually what I do most of my gaming. And to just sit down and play some of these old video games that I played, like, that I haven't played in 15, 20 years has been a fucking blast, you know? And not all of them have held up as well as you want them to, but some of them really have. And I flip-flopped when I was writing my show notes on if I was going to bring up which games I've been playing. If you go to, again, to the Instagram account, Member the Game, you'll see a couple. I don't want to point out too many because I don't like to spoil some of the upcoming episodes. Like, I don't know if I'm wrong, please tell me, but I know on other podcasts I listen to, like wrestling ones and stuff, I kind of like it when there's a little bit of a surprise and I don't know what next week episode is going to be about, excuse me, until it actually comes out. And so that's kind of been my goal with this one, is I don't like to give away what games we're talking about too far in advance so that you never know what's going to pop up on Wednesday. I've been posting hints now on Tuesday, but you know what I mean. Like, you don't know what's coming up. So I'm not going to tell you what I've been playing. Just know that I've been playing, especially NES, like some of the old 8-bit games. And man, I'll tell you, like, the ones that haven't aged well are terrible, but the ones that have aged well are fucking timeless. And they're from an era where you couldn't rely on graphics and fucking, you know, like sound and special features and online play and stuff to sell your game. It just had to be a fun game out of the box, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you, like, even some of the ones we have talked about on here, like Super Mario Brothers 3 and Ninja Turtles and stuff, like, those games have just stood the test of time and they're still fun to play today. And it just, I don't know. I think that's why I like those indie retro games so much. There's just something about a game that relies on gameplay to be fun. And it sounds so crazy to say that a game relies on gameplay to be fun, but I really don't feel like every game does these days. Looking at you, Assassin's Creed, you fucking... Anyway, the other thing I wanted to point out is Final Fantasy VIII turned 20 on Monday, on February 11th. I never played it. It's one of the only Final Fantasy... No, I don't want to say one of the only, but it is... It's probably the most prominent Final Fantasy game that I haven't played. I had no reason not to play it back in the day. I had a PS1. I had a little bit of money. I played the hell out of Final Fantasy VII. I don't know, man. My friends that did play it didn't seem to like it very much. And it never really jumped out at me. It has such big shoes to fill coming in the heels of Final Fantasy VII, you know? And it's funny because when you look at the reviews and stuff on it, it's funny to say that it's one of the lower reviewed Final Fantasy games when it's still reviewed better than 99% of the other video games that come out today. But I never played it. Maybe someday I will. And then, you know, we'll do an episode on here. But but there's a thing too. Like Nintendo is porting a bunch of Final Fantasy games over to the Switch pretty quick. And they're doing 7, 9, 10, 12. So they're skipping 8. I don't, like, so there can't be that much love for it if they're not, you know, paying the money to get it. I don't know. If you've played it and you don't think it sucks, tell me. And then maybe I'll try to hunt down a way to play it and I'll give it a shot. But it's never really appealed to me. I don't know. That's just me. Final Fantasy IX is the best one. Fuck you. As far as what I am playing right now, this is a decent segue for an awful podcast. In the RPG realm of things, in addition to playing those old NES games I was telling you guys about, I've dipped into Octopath Traveler on the Switch. It's a JRPG. It got pretty good reviews when it came out. A few people kind of crapped on it. Most people were on board. And I've just been dragging my feet on playing it forever. And I finally fired it up a little over a week ago. And yeah, it's if you're a JRPG fan and you got a Switch, yes, it's awesome. I'm loving it. It is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. I love the gameplay mechanics, the combat and stuff in it. I'm digging it, man. It's pretty rad. I know my buddy Chris has mentioned it to me a couple of times, but to see a Final Fantasy IV or Final Fantasy VI, like those 16-bit Final Fantasies eras games remade in this graphic style would be unbelievable. It's one of the best-looking games I've played in forever. So that's what I'm playing. Sorry, I know I'm kind of all over the place. I've had a lot of coffee this morning. I'm tired, and I am reading my computer. I got to stop doing this while I record. That's enough rambling. It's 8 minutes. I'll shut up. You guys don't care about what I have going on. You guys want to hear about Earthworm Jim. And like I said, that's what we're talking about this week. Earthworm Jim, originally released in North America on August 2nd, 1994 for the Sega Genesis. Ported shortly afterwards to the Super Nintendo. Now it's appeared on all kinds of stuff. I would have to think if you grew up in the 90s and you were a gamer, you know what Earthworm Jim is. Maybe you didn't play him, but you knew, right? Like the cartoon was all... I remember drawing Earthworm Jim. Like in school, and I could not draw to save my life, but I loved drawing. I loved drawing Earthworm Jim. I loved watching his cartoon. I read some of his comic books. He had action figures, and he's not one of the ones that had all those other properties and then got a video game made. They made a video game of him and then decided to spin it off into all these other properties. He's fucking hilarious. The character names are awesome. You guys are about to hear his, I'm not going to do the cue the music and play music because the music you're about to hear between me and the podcast with Patrick is the theme song from his cartoon. It's awesome. I hope you guys like this episode. I had a lot of fun talking about it. I had a lot of fun, albeit a little bit frustrating at times, replaying this game, getting ready for the podcast. That's it. I'll shut up. That's enough. You guys, I'm going to hit the music and I'm going to talk to you guys about Earthworm Jim with my buddy Patrick. Enjoy. He's fucking groovy. And this podcast episode is going to be much better than my intro has been. All right.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Check it out, guys. Here we go.
Earthworm Jim. The soil he did crawl.
Earthworm Jim.
A super suit did fall. Jim was just a third eating chewy length of worm flesh, but all that came to a crashing end.
Earthworm Jim.
He's such a groovy guy.
Earthworm Jim.
He rockets through the sky, cruising through the universe, having lots of fun. Here comes Earthworm Jim, you know that he's a mighty one.
We'll be right back. Despite his great big muscles and his really big ray gun, Jim is still an earthworm, but then he's the only one with a super suit to make him really super strong. Jim can be a winner if we only sing along.
All right!
Earthworm Jim!
We think he's mighty fine.
Earthworm Jim!
A hero for all time!
Earthworm, 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 earthworm Jim! Hooray for Jim!
Yes, boy, cast Jim!
Groovy!
Beautiful. First of all, my guest this week is Patrick McGrath. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to come nerd out with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You and I have been trying to set this up for quite a while, so I'm pretty excited that we were finally able to make this happen.
Yeah.
So when I messaged you about what games you want to talk about, you wrote back, and I don't know what order these two are going to go up. One of them may have already gone up. It won't matter. But you picked two of the most sadistic games you could have picked, and one of them is Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
Now, I personally am only familiar with the Super Nintendo edition.
Yeah, me too. That's the way I played it. I actually just recently found out that it was originally made for the Sega Genesis. I didn't know that.
No, I honestly found some stuff out researching this one too.
Yeah.
This has been one of those ones, like I was just saying to you, sometimes I don't do any homework, sometimes I have to do some.
Yeah.
This was one of those ones where I was like, as soon as I started doing homework, man, the memories and stuff, I was like, oh yeah. So, did you own it growing up?
I didn't, but it was one of those games that I rented constantly. So it was like, you know those games where it's like you didn't own it, but it was like your first go-to every time. If you didn't find something new, it was always like Earthworm Jim or Beavis and Butthead.
I get
like
that.
The two games. Yeah.
And by the time it's all said and done, you've paid enough to have just bought it, but you just rented it a whole bunch. I used to do that with that NHL 97, just rent it over and over. It's so dumb. Like, just buy it, you know?
As a kid, you just don't have that concept. You're just thinking week to week. You're like, oh, man, I can't wait till next week. I'll get Earthworm Jim again.
Yeah, it's true. Did you ever beat it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I've only been playing it for about a week,
trying
to get back into the flow for this podcast, and I have not.
It's tough, dude. I actually just finished it this morning again.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It is a fucking vicious...
Yeah.
I have some things about it I love,
and
I have some things about it that make me insane.
For sure. Let's get... What do you love?
Okay, well, first and foremost, the animation and the style in Earthworm Jim
is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Beautiful. Like, I love it. As a kid, just the absurdist animation and humor behind it was like everything that I was about. It completely drew me to that.
It literally is like playing a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's like I've never hid the fact on this podcast that I'm a 16-bit junkie. Like that's my favorite era of video games.
Me as well.
And they look beautiful, but even from like this game stands up against anything from that era.
Absolutely.
Both of them do.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And like it's not just the way. Don't mind my dog's army crawling around the carpet. She does it all the time. She's the, like I said, the producer of the show. It's not just like the animations, like the actual like the colors and everything, but it's so fluid.
Yeah, and then the movement is fluid, and which is what you really want from those platformer type games, right? Is like tight, responsive controls, and it still holds up. Like you still play it, and there's no learning curve, which is what I have a problem with going back to a lot of old games. Is the controls don't hold up, and it takes you, 2-3 hours just to get back into the swing and the feel of games. Whereas Earthworm Jim, I find, is a game you can just pick up and you remember everything about it away.
For sure, yeah. It took me like a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, okay, now I remember all this stuff.
And so
keeping on the note of the animation and the styles and stuff, like Earthworm Jim as a whole, like, I mean, I loved the cartoon.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, this got me remembering all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I used to draw Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
I can't draw, but I tried. He is such a hilarious character because, like, really, he's just a worm.
Yeah.
In this suit.
In this super suit.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the way, like, one of your two main weapons are you have a gun, which is a cool-looking gun.
Yeah, that space blaster thing.
But then you can also whip yourself.
Yeah, just pulling your head off and whipping guys with.
It's just beautiful. Yeah. And it's so fluid that you can just take, because, I mean, I'm used to playing games with whip, like Castlevania, like those games where you have a whip. But in this one, literally, your hand reaches up, pulls yourself out of your suit, and whips you, and then puts you back in.
Yeah, one of the things I love they do with the head is when you're crawling across the chains, and so he'll have his gun in one hand, he pulls himself with one, and then the other one is his head hooking on, and he's pulling arm, head.
Yeah.
That's such a great animation just to look at that.
And you know what? Something like that is such a, like, I think that they deserve a lot of credit for stuff like that, because all they really had to do
because he's always got his gun in his hand. Mm-hmm. And all they really had to do is whenever he goes to like work his way across a rope is make the gun disappear. Yeah. And you would have just assumed like, oh, I put it in his belt or something.
Right.
But they don't. They take the time to have him constantly have his gun in one hand and then use his head and his arm in the other hand.
More absurd things, whatever they could fit it in.
I think that that is beautiful. And then like, the way he whips himself is cool. The way he uses his head as a propeller to kind of lower himself as he's floating down is cool. And then some of the animations, like I noticed it actually just this morning playing, like when he stands still,
he'll take himself out. Standing still animations.
Oh.
I probably spent hours as a kid just letting it sit just to watch these different animations.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the one I saw today that made me just die is he takes himself out and plays jump rope with himself. So he's got this fucking suit jumping over his body.
Yeah.
Really, really clever. And like, so that's, and like, and literally that's just Earthworm Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just the main character himself. And then you go into like some of the bad guys in this game.
Excellently designed. They're just memorable. Like even without refreshing and playing the game, it's just, these are just characters that have just stuck in my head for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like they're really, it's really creative. They didn't half-ass it. Like this game, like, I mean, like you could go look at something like Battletoads or any of those. And like, I love Battletoads, but you could totally look at Battletoads as like, well, they saw Ninja Turtles and they wanted to cash
Absolutely,
in.
Absolutely.
And when I was reading about Earthworm Jim, that is something that originally inspired them was the Ninja Turtles and the money they made.
Right.
From that
franchise. Absolutely.
But they didn't mail it in and just make a Ninja Turtle ripoff. Like this is a completely unique universe with all these creative, funny characters.
Yeah. And the other thing they were going for was making a game that also kind of made fun of all these other types of platforming games.
Right. Yeah.
With like the main female, Princess What's-Her-Name.
Princess What's-Her-Name.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Making fun of the fact that a lot of these games had these kind of almost cut and dry or cut and paste female characters that didn't really matter what they were there for.
Right. Yeah.
It was just a MacGuffin device to drive the story forward.
It's really, it's like, I don't want to say before its time, but it almost is.
It felt like it. As a kid, it was like one of those things of like, I've never seen anything like this before.
No, they were parodying everything that was current and cool, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, make no mistake, this game screams mid-90s. Like it goes for the kind of the gross out humor and it goes for that that silly, you know, like I wrote, so I couldn't remember all of them. I wrote down the names of some of the characters in this universe. So like you said, there's Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
And then the princess you're trying to save is Princess What's-Her-Name, which is hilarious. There's Peter Puppy.
Yeah.
The dog that's like...
His sidekick.
His sidekick, who is like the most chill, nice guy in the world. Mm-hmm. Like still he gets scared or angry.
Yeah.
And then he goes Incredible Hulk style.
Yeah. Until Jim steps on his foot.
Yeah. And then he just goes nuts and attacks Jim.
Yeah.
But then like some of these villains, like the Psycrow.
Yeah.
That's clever enough. Queen Slug for a Butt. Evil the Cat. Bob the Killer Goldfish, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Major Mucus. Professor Monkey for a Head. Like... Yeah.
What more do you need as a kid in the 90s?
It's genius, right? Like it really...
Yeah.
It's sad, kind of, because like the franchise is dead.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
I mean, they did a HD remaster a few years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Did you play it?
I did. It was good.
Was it?
But it doesn't exist anymore because the license or the partnership between the two companies had run out. So they took it. You can't find it anymore in digital stores and stuff like that.
That happens too much.
Yeah. I think what killed it was the 3D version on the N64.
Yeah.
And that was because the original company, Shiny, didn't have anything to do with it. They had sold the rights to another company, or they got bought out by Interplay, and then they didn't want to make a sequel, so they gave it to somebody else, and it was just a pile of shit.
Oh, I never played it. I saw
it's
the reviews.
Awful. Yeah. I played it as an emulator, and I was like, I'm so glad I did not play this as a kid.
That's one more reason why that 64 PS1 era just doesn't shine at all. The amount of like Mega Man, Bomberman, the amount of games that went to 3D and died, this is another one.
Absolutely.
But it's too bad, because I think if Earthworm Jim came out now, people would totally get on board with it.
Oh, absolutely. I think people would.
You know, like, you look at some of the cartoons today, stuff like Rick and Morty and those types of, like, you know what I mean, like the children, like, they look kind of kiddie, but they're completely for adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they could totally do that with Earthworm Jim now.
He's
the worm we need. so I love the animation style in it. I would put it in probably in the 10 best looking franchises on the Super Nintendo.
I think so.
You know, like either game. Like, I only owned Earthworm Jim 2 as a kid. I never had the first one, but I've played the first one.
Right.
And they both look gorgeous. One of the things I don't like about it is it's not the controls necessarily, because the controls at their base are easy. You jump, you shoot your gun, you whip your head. I think what irritates me and what irritated me playing through it the first couple of times till I kind of got a hang for it is not knowing what exactly in the background and in the design hurts you
for sure.
And what doesn't, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that is chalked up to, I don't want to say necessarily inexperience to making a game or if it's like...
It could have been. It was their first game that they made.
Which I think is part of it. And I think part of it was they were trying so hard to go for that fluid cartoon look.
Yeah, and a lot of the backgrounds had, you know, that like pre-rendered kind of look where it was like a painted background with an animation over top. And it is definitely hard to distinguish, like especially when you're looking for those hooks and things like that.
drives me crazy. And it's, you know, because there are other games like... One of the games I think of when I with this style kind of a graphics is like the Donkey Kong Country games,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've played the shit out of those games. And I don't remember ever not knowing what would hurt me and what wouldn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas and maybe that's just the more experience, you know, I don't know. I just when I play Earthworm Jim, like that first time I played through that first level, Junk City, New Junk City.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad outside of the spikes at the bottom where I quickly realized
like,
all the
basically spikes anything pointy and spiky is gonna hurt you
but to me like you know what really came to fruition to me was the third level What the Heck which is basically playing in hell which is hilarious and so to get back to the villains quickly one of the villains in What the Heck is lawyers in hell and they're hard but that's hilarious but that was one where like I was like, oh, okay, these hurt me. Like, oh, these don't. I can grab this and climb on it, but I can't climb on this, you know? Certainly not enough to, like, ruin the game for you.
Yeah, you. I mean, you health is so abundant in that game where if you make a mistake, you're going to recoup that loss pretty quickly, I find.
Yeah, I would say so for the most part, yeah. It's and that's another thing is some of the villains, they're not necessarily hard. It's just that, like, they're vicious.
There's aggravating characters,
for sure. Oh, God, man. Yeah. Like, even when you just talk of the first world, the Junk City one, those fucking crows. There's these crows, and they're easy to see, and one hit with your whip kills them.
Yeah.
But if they get a hold of you, then you and have to...
When they bite onto your head and they start pulling at the worm part. Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do for about 2 seconds but to sit there and watch these birds pulling your fucking head. And you're just like, okay, I get it. Like,
they're satisfying to kill, though.
Like, aren't they?
When they explode and the beak goes flying off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same as those fucking dogs.
Yeah.
There's these fucking vicious dogs.
They just look like they're made out of puke and nails.
Yeah. And when they get a hold of you, then you have to sit there and watch the anime. And like, I get the animation is funny, but it's frustrating sometimes when you're sitting there getting hit over and over and over. And fuck. That said, the game really pushes exploration, which I think is cool too. Like, the levels are big.
Yeah, and there's a lot of secrets too.
Right. Yeah, which I think is really rad. I enjoy that kind of stuff. I'm like, I like going from A to B, you know, like when I play like a Mario or something, but I also really like it when I can just take my time and no timer.
No time limit,
which
you're not penalized.
Which is like no video game. If I have one criticism, Mario's my guy.
Yeah.
If I have one criticism of those games, get rid of fucking timers. Yeah. You know, just let us play the game.
Agreed. Yeah. Especially in like Super Mario World, where there's a ton of hidden stuff to explore.
Right. You just want to have fun.
You can do it, but you also have to do it fast.
That drives me fucking bananas. Yeah. And so right away, from the first time I fired up this game, I'm like, I can take all the time in the world. As long as I don't get killed, I can take, which is not a guarantee.
Yeah.
I can take all the time in the world to just look around. Yeah. And you said there's secrets everywhere. And a lot that you can see, and it's trying to figure out how to get them.
Yeah.
And there's stuff I still don't know how to get.
And I think they utilize that kind of fear of what hurts you and what doesn't by hiding stuff where it's not necessarily an obvious path. So some stuff it's like finding a hook and you can get over to it, but sometimes it's just what looks like a wall and you go in and you'll just go behind it and down underneath or stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
Like when you can see a gun or something and you don't know how to get it and then... You fall through a hole or something, and then suddenly you're like, oh, fuck yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And then the hooks fucking drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. There's hooks that you can whip Jim's head into and then swing off of them. But once you realize that anything with that little glistening star is a hook, then it's not too bad. They can just be frustrating to hit sometimes. And there's a part, like, What the Heck is the level I'm thinking of, where... it's probably like a minute or two into the level. You go all the way to the right, then you hook back down and come all the way back to the left. And then there's this green jewel that you just have to run on. Yeah,
run the opposite direction of which way it's rolling.
Right, which I fucking probably spent 15 minutes whipping and shooting. Like, I burned all my ammo.
Yeah.
And then finally realized you run on it. But so it takes you up. But then there's a part up there. Like, so then it raises you up into the level. But then there's a part where if you miss a jump and fall back down, the only way to get back to where you were is to fucking go back through the level, go back to that jewel.
Yeah.
And again, I don't, it's not game breaking. I think that's, again, maybe a, maybe it was by design. Maybe it was an inexperienced thing. That kind of stuff frustrates
there's,
me.
Yeah, a lot of trial and error stuff. There's a, quite a few levels where if you miss something, they make you redo a chunk of it.
Yeah, which is kind of, I don't know. As a kid, maybe it didn't bother me as much as it does now.
Yeah.
Maybe I've become soft with some of the games today where there's a checkpoint every 3 seconds, you know? Because that's the thing, is like back in the day, that was normal. You know, if you died or if something happened, you had to play a big part of it over again.
Right, yeah. And I mean, you're coming from a game that there's only, what, total seven levels, I think? Seven worlds or seven or six?
That's what I was going to ask you because I never got by what the heck.
Okay.
So you're going to have to steer it. Like, at least not that I can remember.
So I think it's seven, but it might be six, and there's seven on the Sega Genesis because there's an exclusive level on the Sega Genesis version that I've never played. I've only ever seen in like videos. So you've never made it past what the heck. So you don't even know the most frustrating parts of the game.
Oh, fuck. I can't even imagine.
So after what the heck is the down the tubes level. And that's where you're going through the tubes. And a big portion of the game is getting into a submersible little bubble of a sub. And you have to travel through the water but not hit it on any of the edges, but you give it a finite amount of time because it's the oxygen level or whatever it is.
Just sorry, for the record, that's the one time a timer in a level makes sense.
Yeah.
Is when it's something like you're going to run out of air or something. All right. Yeah. I can live with that.
So you play most of this level and it's fine, but then they start introducing these submarine vehicles. And at first you have oxygen along the way, but when you get near the end of it, they give you 99 seconds to get from point A to point B. And it is the most frustrating thing. Replaying it last night and this morning was very aggravating because I'd redid it 100 times before I finally was able to get through it again. And once you get through, it's not like it's a big deal. It's just like, oh, you should have been able to do this all along.
Right. Well, that's how you always feel after you beat it.
Yeah. And one of the other characters that is really aggravating to deal with, so Bob the Killer Goldfish, he has that giant cat character that carries him. So in the tubes level, they have these parts where these cat henchmen walk back and forth, and there's a small bubble on the top with a rail that you can hold onto. So similar to the dogs in New Junk City, where you have to grab and kind of pull your ass end up to avoid getting hit.
Right.
But they'll put two of them back to back, and if you make it through the first one, but then the other one catches you, he grabs you by the neck and punches you and sends you flying back. He takes like 40 points off your health.
Ugh.
And if you get hit by the second one, you're going to get hit by the first one. It'll just push you back. And if you keep messing up, it'll just continually push you back. And you'll only do that two or three times before it kills you. And it's just such a small part. You can easily get past it, but if you just mess up that time or, you know, don't commit to the timing of it, it's very aggravating.
I didn't really think about it until I started playing this game for this podcast again. Because when we were kids, like back in the 90s, when you play these games, and they were really hard, and when you died, you went back forever and stuff. It didn't seem that aggravating because it was just normal. That's just what we were used to.
You had nothing to compare it to, yeah.
Right. And I really don't know if, because now it's not so much like that. There's checkpoints fucking everywhere in video games. You can save every 3 seconds.
When I play games on Super Nintendo emulator, I'm constantly like save state, so I can just redo
it
over and over. I'll
admit it. I'm cheap like that. And it's like I just finished the original Zelda for the first time on the NES. I'd never finished it. And
I finished it.
And I did it. And it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But I had save states.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, if I didn't have save states, and I don't even know. Like I wonder if like when they made these games back in the day, Was it a design because they just didn't know better and that was just this industry standard? Or I wonder if they did stuff like that to make the game longer.
I think it was to make it longer. I mean, you're paying for this cartridge that only holds a finite amount of information.
Right.
I think you had to make it as difficult as possible. You look at games like Contra 3 Alien Wars. It's just like absurdly difficult.
Yeah.
All of the Contra games, for that matter, are just insanely difficult. And I think it comes from a time of, that's what arcade games were like too, right?
So yeah. But like arcade games were designed to kill you so that you'd pump
exactly,
more money
right? Yeah. So, but I mean, a lot of these games are just made by these companies that were making arcade games or they were ports of these games.
Right,
and that's what kind of set the industry standard, I believe.
Right, and it seems frustrating to look at how hard some of these games were, but then you're like, can you imagine? You know, I don't even remember what games were worth back then, but just say they are like they are now. Like, say you shelled out $70 for Earthworm Jim, and you fucking brought it home, and then you beat it in a day. You'd be like, right? What the fuck is
like you can beat that whole game in an hour if absolutely. You know what you're doing.
Absolutely, right? And like, and that's tons of those old games, you know? And so I really, I wonder if part of it was they had to make it hard so you didn't just breeze through, you know?
I think so. And you're marketing it towards kids for the most part. So there's going to be that attention span where they're going to be able to replay and replay and replay like I did, you know?
Right,
like
yeah.
There was a long time where I was renting the game. It's not like I was renting it and beating it. I was renting it and same thing. I was getting to a certain part and not getting past it and then having to go back and slowly and slowly and slowly getting further and further.
Yeah. And there was, I'll tell you, there was something like, it seems frustrating now, but there was something satisfying about that too. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it was when you were a kid, you couldn't buy, like I could buy a game right now if I want to, I can just go to the store, buy go online and buy a game. Yeah. I've got disposable income. I'm an adult.
Yeah.
But when you were a kid, you only got games a couple times a year, like physical, like to own. Right.
Yeah.
So when you did get one, even if it was the hardest, most, I think that's the NES more than anything, and I'm not going to get on a tangent. We're going to stick with Earthworm Jim. But NES, Super Nintendo, Sega, all those games, there's a lot of games that are fucking so hard.
Yeah.
But as a kid, that was the game you got for Christmas. So you're like, well, this is what I'm playing for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
So you do just constantly hammer at it and get a little bit better.
Yeah, exactly.
So it didn't seem as bad as it does now, you know? This game, the first couple of times I played it, I was getting so fucking angry. Yeah. And then I started to chill out and it started to come back. That muscle memory started to come back.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you do that level. And then what comes after that one?
So we're level, that's 2, 3.
Because there's Junk City and then the one where you're racing Psycro.
Yeah. And that happens in between each level, the Andy Asteroids level.
Oh, okay.
So every time you beat a level, you do that Andy Asteroids.
I love those.
They're great.
And, again, for what the system was capable of, like they're really good looking levels. Like they're fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so I'm having trouble remembering what comes after that. But then.
Is that the one where you have to guide Peter?
That's what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
That fuck.
So that
I do remember that level.
Yeah.
So
that's
I have been there at some
one
point.
Of my least favorites. I absolutely hate doing that level.
Every escort mission in every video game sucks.
In both Earthworm Jims, the Peter Puppy levels are awful.
Yeah.
They're awesome to look at because that one's got so much crazy stuff going on.
Right.
And a bunch of like game mechanics that aren't in like the springboards and stuff. But it's so aggravating. Like that was probably the level that I would always get stuck on as a kid. Like I would never get past.
And because that's the one where he's just like, he's just skipping along.
He's just leisurely walking.
And
yeah.
you have to basically protect him and guide him through the level.
Shoot
right?
enemies. You have to whip him over holes in the ground. You have to protect him from meteorites falling on you, tentacles grabbing him. And then if he does fall into any of those traps, he rages out and beats the shit out of you.
He goes
and
Incredible
he sets
Hulk.
You back and you have to redo that part.
Yeah.
It's so fucking aggro.
It is but you're right, like the animations are so rad because in the second one I remember there being a level where there was puppies and you had to bounce them across the
puppy love
and
there was a giant puppies. Marshmallow and Cycro's throwing the puppies out.
And you have to bounce the puppies from one end of the level to the other and if they hit the ground then he goes crazy it's funny because he is so aggravating but he's also one of the most charming characters in the world in the universe right I love the fact that he's the sidekick. He's like, and Jim is so loyal to him. They're like best friends, but he constantly just rages out and destroys Jim.
Yeah.
He's a funny character.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
So there's that level.
Yeah, then level 5, which is I think it's like the sciency one, and it's got one of the most aggravating characters in the game, which is this weird green floating thing with an eye on it. And when you shoot it, it turns into 3 worms that can jump towards you. Wow. So you have to shoot it and then shoot the ground at them. And later on in this level, there's a bunch of shit that happens. Like these little eyeball monsters start spawning. There's these jumping brains. And there's one part where it's just constantly spawning like over and over and over these eyeballs and these worm characters. And it's just so fucking aggravating to deal with. Those ones, I think those are the characters that I hate the most, just because you have the 2-stage attack to them. So you have to shoot them out of the air and then these little worms. And if you miss them on the first one, they're going to jump at you and they just continue jump back and forth hitting you.
That's one of the things I noticed about this game too, is the villains are fucking, like I said earlier with the crows, but like all of them, they are aggressive.
They're either like very fast to attack, which is giving you very little time to react.
Mm-hmm. And I find, like, at least as far as I've gotten, most of them are fairly easy to kill.
Yeah.
They don't take a lot of damage to kill. It's just a matter of getting the jump on them, because once they get in your space, like in your bubble, like through that perimeter of your where your head can reach, where your gun will get them, they will fuck you up.
Yeah.
And that's where I get irritated with it, because I'm like, now I can't get away from it, and it just keeps fucking hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. So,
and I think the next level after that, which ends up being the last one, there's these beehive characters. It's just like a beehive, and it just spawns these tiny little bees that fly all over the screen. And they'll just continue to attack you, and you have to shoot it. And it takes a lot to shoot this beehive down.
Mm-hmm.
And if it falls on you, it takes damage. And it's just so aggravating. That ends up to being what the end boss, the queen slug for a butt, ends up shooting at you. You circle a platform around her, and she just keeps spawning bees at you.
And you have to fight queen slug for a butt.
Yeah.
So, and it's such a stupid name.
Yeah.
And I like, so like the whole premise of the Earthworm Jim universe is that they had the super suit. It was theirs.
Right.
And I think it was Psycho, one of them dropped it, and Earthworm Jim, who was just a regular worm, found it and turned into Earthworm Jim, and now they want their
suit.
They
want it back, yeah.
Yeah. So you go, it's such a stupid universe.
Everything is very on the nose, which is what I like. Like it's just very like Earthworm Jim, Psycho, everything is just like almost exactly what the characters are.
Yeah. It's funny, because like when I think of that era, I think of like, I mean, now I think of Earthworm Jim, but I think of stuff like Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think of like Ren and Stimpy.
It easily could have been a Nickelodeon franchise.
Totally
could
have, right? But it was started as a video game, and then it was so popular, it spun off of everything. And I think part of the reason it was so popular is because there's a lot of polish in this game.
Yeah.
It's especially in an era where there was so much garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, the NES was worse than the SNES and Genesis, but there's so much garbage and just churned out games because you knew you could make money.
Yeah. It was nice because it wasn't based off of an arcade game. It wasn't coming from a pre-existing like intellectual property. It was something that they came out, they saw the success of Ninja Turtles. They said, we want to do something like that, and we want to do it backwards. We want to have a game, and then we want to spawn it into toys and a franchise later on. And basically, one guy just drew a quick little sketch, and they bought the idea from him, and that was what became the game. And that guy is the guy that voiced the character and kind of did some of the lead artwork, while the other guys just programmed the game. It's not a big team of people like most of those games were. It was, you know, 7 people or whatever it was.
Like, there's so many games from that era. Like, if you go outside of the Marios and the Sonics and from that Super Nintendo Sega Genesis era, you look at, there was Boogerman, there was Bubsy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. But there's tons of just these fucking stupid platformers like this. Mm-hmm. And this was really head and shoulders above the rest for the polish and
really,
the shine
on really
both games. So, okay, so then that brings us to the ending, which I looked up today because I was curious what
it's
the ending
so
is.
So funny.
Fucking hysterical. Yeah. So you beat Queen Slug for a butt.
Yeah.
And then you go to rescue Princess What's-Her-Name.
Yeah.
And she's like standing on the edge of this like fiery cliff or something. And in the very first, now, are you able to beat the first level without launching the cow?
No, you can't. There's no way of getting around launching the cow.
Okay.
Because you do it and you assume it never comes back.
No.
Or is what you think.
Yeah.
Until that very end sequence when it falls on her.
Which is fucking hilarious. Like, and I never knew because I never beat this game before. Yeah. So in the very, like, in the first, like, 8 seconds of the game, there's just
2 crows and then there's a fridge.
Yeah. There's this fridge on a rope and then there's a cow just standing on this log. And the cow has this hilarious, like, bug-eyed look on its face. Yeah. And eventually you knock this fridge down and it launches this cow. It lands on the other side. It's like seesaw. It shoots this cow up into the air. And it says cow launched.
Cow launched, yeah.
And I had no idea why I was doing that. Yeah. But I thought maybe like every level has a cow you launch or something. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. the end of the game, you go and you rescue the, and you're like making googly eyes at the princess and everything. And suddenly this fucking cow comes and lands on the princess. This cow you launched 2 hours ago at the beginning of the game just comes and lands on Princess What's-Her-Name.
That's it.
And then Jim just mopes away. He just has this like dejected look on his face, and he just walks away.
Yeah.
And then her crown is laying there. Mm-hmm. And then after the credits roll through, the edge of the land that she was on like breaks off and she like floats away.
Yeah.
And then Jim just reaches in and grabs her crown because it's obviously worth some money, right?
Yeah.
Now, did you see the alternate ending for if you beat it on easy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so this, I didn't know this till today. I looked it up. So this is that's the ending, right?
Yeah.
I'm not forgetting anything.
No,
right?
That's
fucking hilarious.
I remember it.
It would be like if you fucking saved Princess Peach at the end of a Mario game and then one of the first bad guys you killed came and landed on her.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's that mocking of that, like, your princess is in another castle kind of thing. Like, there is no resolve.
It's
this
hysterical.
Is his whole driving force to the game. Like, he has this super suit, and he's not using it for anything other than to get through all of these levels to save this princess that he's so in love with, and she just does not give a shit about him at all.
Yeah. And then at the end, she dies. I don't know if she actually dies. It doesn't show her died. Her
right.
Eyes are
She's
open,
in the second one, so she
so
can't
she can't
die.
Be that
yeah.
dead. So if you beat the game on easy, what happens is this message pops up and says, you beat the game, but it was on easy.
Right.
Tough it up or something like that. And then it goes into this huge long thing explaining worms. And it's like a science lesson and just words scroll through the screen.
That's hilarious.
And that's all. It basically just trolls you. Yeah. It says, toughen up. Go beat it on a hard set.
That's funny.
Genius. Yeah. Like such an intelligent game.
I love that you can see like the humor of the people writing the game. Like there's this same continual, like they have that obsession with cows that carries on into the second one. In the second one, they have like the pigs that you can carry. And just like that first boss in New Junk City, that dude that's on the crane type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just starts burping fish at you. That's so fucking gross.
It's so
but
gross.
It's
he's
like,
just
you
a
know
fat
somebody
pig.
Who's like, this is hilarious.
It is. Yeah. It goes to that gross out humor, but in more of a clever way than a lot of the other games. And you know, it's funny because like some of the funniest games I've ever played when I think of it, most recently I think of the two South Park games, which are both hysterical, the two South Park RPGs, but I think of like Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
You know, like a comedy in a game is a hard thing to do. You can do charm, but to be straight up funny is a hard thing to do. And the Earthworm Jim games are legitimately funny.
They're hilarious.
You know? Oh, yeah. And that's something I meant to mention, too, is not only is the animation great, but the music and the sound is fucking
music is
outstanding.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
This is one of those episodes where I can't wait to edit it and throw some of the music
in. Oh, yeah.
Because there's some great tunes in these games.
Yeah. I own the Earthworm Jim soundtrack that Tommy Tallarico did. So it's all the uncompressed, like, original recordings of what he would have written and performed on, like, MIDI synthesizers and guitars and stuff.
Oh, no way.
And it's fantastic. Yeah. And so I actually got to meet Tommy Tallarico when he was doing Video Games Live, and it was like one of the first 4 years I think he was doing it. He came through Edmonton, and I bought the CD of the soundtrack, and I got it signed by him, and he said, like, this is the first one I've ever seen anybody, like, give a shit about. He's like, people forget that I did this score for this, but I love it. He's like, it's one of those games that's, like, really near and dear to me, and I was like, this has been my favorite since I was a kid. Like, this music is phenomenal.
It's rad. Yeah. It's so good. And, like, and even the little things they put in, like, groovy and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, they...
Yeah.
I know I've said it on here about three times already, but like it's really, really remarkable that unproven franchise that they had no idea how it would do has the level of polish on it that this game does.
Yeah, right. From a company that they had not made a game before this.
Yeah.
They're coming from an original idea. And I think actually, no, that's not true. So the team that made up this production team had come from working on, I think, Disney games or something where it was like they were dealing with other people's IP.
Okay.
And they had to really form into these designs. So one of the games they actually did that I know from reading was they did the Cool Spot game, that 7-Up like advertisement.
I was thinking of him, yeah.
Yeah, so they they're like, you have to work within this specific, you can't, there's no real freedom. So when they come up with an original character, they have all this freedom to be like, we can do whatever we want. There's no base for what we're doing.
And what I think is really admirable about that is there's a lot of franchises where they'll go get an IP, and it was really bad in this era, in that era.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll go get the Simpsons IP or something like that. Any movie. Fuck, there's so many bad movie games. Just things like that, or fucking Cool Spot or something. And then they do, I feel like a lot of these games are so half-assed because they're like, well, the IP will sell it.
The Cheetos game.
The Cheetos game.
The Chester Cheetos.
Like, they're, yeah, exactly. Like they'll put the face of, you know, I used to have Dennis the Menace, yeah, in the video game. It's so bad. Yeah. But they'll put this face on it and that'll sell it. Whereas these guys, it was like, we're up against all these IP that everyone knows. No one knows us. Because the TV show and everything came from the video game. Like the video game is what launched
and it
everything.
It didn't come till after the second game.
Right. Like that was what launched it. And so in an era where, especially where they didn't have the internet to fucking promote their game.
Yeah.
You know, it was basically word of mouth and magazines.
It was the box art. It's what it has. It's like when all you have is a physical property, mm-hmm, like that hand painted like art on the top of the box, it's just beautiful. So fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you read about the commercial that they had for it? Like a band?
No.
So it was, I don't remember seeing it. I don't know if I ever saw it. And I read about it. I should have watched it or looked it up. But it has something to do with this woman's reading like a bedtime story to a kid. And while she's doing it, she's eating these worms. They're like prop worms, but they look like real worms. And she's like eating these worms as she's telling this story. And it caused like so many people to become like nauseated and call and complain that they ended up removing the advertisement.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on. That's funny, man. Yeah. I wish they would bring it back. What a great franchise.
Just doing weird out there stuff like that.
Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you, Patrick, I've recorded about, I don't know when this episode will go up, but mm-hmm, I've recorded 30, 35 episodes of this now. And more than any game I've done so far, this one was one where I was like, I didn't remember anything.
Oh, really?
And I went back and started playing, and minutes in, I was like, oh, yeah.
It all comes
and
back.
It was such a great nostalgia.
Yeah, what I really loved about doing this game and that we got to do this was it caused me to start thinking about a lot of memories that I had attached to it. And one was growing up in Nova Scotia, this was one that me and my friend Jesse would play constantly. And he, what I like distinctly remember about this game is he would just steal the game manuals out of boxes when we would rent them. We'd keep them and then he would just draw characters out. So I would draw a little bit, but he was like dead on drawing these Earthworm Jim, like it was so with the one giant eye.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I was like, this sticks out of my head so much, is just like him drawing, and then like I go to his house and he have the pages torn out from these manuals which had like awesome art on it.
Yeah.
And this would be a game that we would just play over and over, and just like it just fit in line with our weird absurdist humor and sensibilities and stuff.
It's great. Man, there's collectors listening to this that are losing their minds. Yeah. The idea of someone ripping pages out of one of these manuals.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. No, it fit in perfect. Like, I think of that era, and I think of, like, like I said, Rocko's Modern Life, Samurai Pizza Cats, these stupid obtuse cartoons that I would watch. Yeah. And Earthworm Jim was right there with the rest of them, and he had a phenomenal video game series.
Yeah, that cartoon was great.
It really was.
Dan Castellaneta doing the voice for Earthworm Jim is just fantastic.
Homer Simpson himself was the voice of Earthworm Jim. Yeah. That's great. If I can find it, I'm gonna put the theme song from the cartoon
into this.
It's
so good, dude. It's burned in my brain forever.
Me too. As soon as I got playing it, I was humming this stupid song. Yeah. Patrick, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you score the original? Now, we're only going Super Nintendo. The original Earthworm Jim on the Super Nintendo, what would you score it out of 10?
I give it an 8 out of 10, just because there were parts that I had forgotten about later in the game that made me so angry. I'm like, I wish these weren't in here. But like, it's a near perfect franchise. Like, I had toys from the game, the cartoon, like all of it. I can't exclude that stuff when thinking about the franchise. Like as a whole, it's just, it's nearly perfect to me.
You want to, I originally, my first 5 minutes replaying it, I was like, this game's getting like a 5.
Yeah.
So I was just so mad.
Yeah.
And every minute I played, I loved it more and more and more. Yeah. 8's a fair score. I think what a phenomenally polished game. If you guys have never played them, they're not really available anywhere other than ROMs. I'm not telling you to download ROMs, but maybe download ROMs and give it a shot, because they're, have some patience, but just have some fun. They're fucking, they're a real trip, man. They're a great time.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Cool,
that was
man.
Great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good stuff. That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Patrick, thank you so much for coming over. And all of you beautiful, beautiful people, thank you so much for listening and downloading and all that stuff you do. I really do appreciate it. If you haven't been yet, check out our website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. You'll find all of our old episodes. You'll find blogs. You'll find, well, that's about it. But it's still really cool. It's worth checking out. And if you enjoyed the episode, leave us a review. That would mean the world to me. Preferably a good one, but a bad one if you feel that way, I guess. I don't know why you keep listening if you hate the podcast, but a review would be really, really cool. And that's it. I'm going to shut up. This episode was long enough. You guys had a lot of fun. I hope. I know I did. I will be back in 7 days for episode 34, a game I'm so excited to talk about. I'll be dropping hints on Instagram going up to it. You guys follow me. You'll like it. That's good enough. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you again in a week. Cheers.